What's up, New Numa fam? The time has finally come for me to step up my game on YouTube. So in January 2023, I will begin focusing most of my attention on building not one, but two YouTube channels. One will focus on just audio and the other on live videos. So do me a favor, take out your phone, go to your YouTube app, and subscribe to both channels now. Look for New Numa Godcast Live as well as New Numa Godcast Audio and subscribe right now because later is too late. Thanks, fam. Peace.
What's good, y'all? It's your boy Stephen Malcolm and you are tuning in to New Numa Godcast. Let's go.
Today's podcast starts a series that was recorded on the Clubhouse platform in a room belonging to the club called the High Culture Podcast. I was invited to speak as part of a panel discussion along with two others who were invited by Terrence Frederick to speak to this issue. So although it is not my platform, the subject is still very relevant to my podcast mission and is relevant to the United States, especially in light of the increased attacks against those of the Jewish belief system most recently. This is a very important topic for us in the church as it relates to our unity. So please listen to the whole series to have your eyes hopefully open. Peace. Hey, Lenora, just for future reference and for anybody else in the room, please turn down any kind of TVs, radios, or anything that's going on in the background. But I just wanted to say, Johnny, because I don't know if you are reading the chat at all, but you gave a natural example of what happened as a result of a spiritual activity. And that's what I was trying to ask you to do earlier. But the problem that I'm seeing is that either you're not really following my question, what I'm trying to get at, or I don't know. But, you know, I know that you don't answer a question with a question. So I'm going to ask this question again in another way. What is it in your life that you have seen that you can point to that a person can see with their eyes that you can say it's because I have authority that I exercised, and based on that authority that I exercised, this has happened in my life? Because I'm trying to point to the fact that authority doesn't mean you just get out of jail free and you get whatever you want whenever you want it. That's what my point is. The thing is that we are within a system and there are restrictions. Even if you talk about in the kingdom of God and how God operates, you don't just carte blanche get whatever you want whenever you feel like it, however you want it. There are restrictions, there are boundaries, there are limitations that even God places around us. But those limitations, restrictions, and boundaries are not, they are not necessarily, they are not an oppression, but they are in many ways a protection, which is different from what we're talking about when it comes to an oppressive system that exists in a construct of a nation, of a society. So speak to that, please.
So it sounds like, and I mean this in the most respectful way, Norman, it almost sounds like you're mixing Black liberation theology with Christianity. It really does. I don't see myself as oppressed. I never have and I never will. I see myself how the Bible sees me or calls me. I see myself as blessed. I see myself as the seed of Abraham. I see myself as an heir according to the promise. I see myself seated with him in heavenly places. I see that I reside in the kingdom of God's dear son, and the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I prefaced the answer to your question with, it's difficult for me to just give you a natural answer. Now, did a spiritual thing bring out a natural manifestation? Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have that authority in Christ. Whether it's, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, the Bible says some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. You may not be the person that necessarily turns that person's heart to love black people or white people or whatever the case may be, but you can plant a seed of love. You can be the individual that prays for that individual that's harboring hatred. And so that's all that I'm saying is that God has called us to rise above that which is trying to rise above us. And I don't know if I can make that any more plain than what the way I stated it.
So I would say this, that I'm not speaking of, in this moment, I'm not speaking of anything that has to do with anything about being black. What I'm talking about is, in a general sense, with any believer, no matter what their ethnicity, there are indicators, and those things come out in a natural form because spiritual things are not always seen. So that's why people, when they talking about being blessed, we can go to Deuteronomy where it says you'll be blessed in the city, in the field, all these kind of things. And it gives natural indicators of how we will know that you are blessed. And none of those things were spiritual. Those things that were spoken of in Deuteronomy were all a natural outward thing that we could see with our eyes, that we could touch, taste, whatever, to be able to say that person is blessed. And all I'm getting at is that when a person is walking in authority that they have in Christ, that doesn't mean, I mean, you know, I'm probably not the only person in here that doesn't have a house right now. But does that mean I don't have authority? No, it doesn't. But I can give you examples of how I've walked in authority. One of those examples is how I did pray. I did decree and declare certain things over student loans in my life. And then I saw a debt cancellation in my life. That is a natural thing that I can point to that is evidence of the spiritual authority that I walk in. So when I ask the question, how do you see, how do you know, how do you define the fact that you are, you know that you have the authority, you're walking in this authority, you're walking in this thing that's victorious over your circumstances, what is your outward showing of the things that you're speaking of spiritually? That is okay. One of the okay. Examples that I can give you.
So I've laid hands on people who had COVID and they were healed. I've laid hands on people who could not have babies and they were able to have babies. I've laid hands on people who were sick. I've cast out devils. I've spoken to a multiplicity of situations, and I can have those people, you know, give you testimonies. And it wasn't because of me, but it was the Christ that in me that did it. So that's what I'm talking about as it relates to authority. And it was in areas of finances. It was in areas of property. It was a multiplicity of things. Weather, storms, tornadoes, hail. You know, just like when the Bible says, greater works will you do? You know, when Jesus spoke to the storm and said, peace be still, and they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? That is what I'm talking about. And these are the things that over the years, the Lord I put my faith in those areas and exercised those things and seen these things come to fruition. And in the area of ethnicity and racism, going into territories where people just blatantly showed their disrespect toward myself and my spouse because of the color of our skin. And then we walk out of that situation and their hearts are changed. And we're praying with them, and we're believing God for things that they're good. So I'm not talking about something that I have not experienced or have not done. I have not seen God do. And this is the authority that I'm talking about. But all of this works according to all of this is by faith, and which works by love. Because the first thing that I realize when it comes to someone that hates me for whatever reason, I've got to get past. As Terrence said, the hurt and the trauma. I got to get past me, because when you start seeing judgment come upon that person, are you gonna be thankful that they're going through what they're going through? You're gonna pray for them or whatever the case may be.
Go ahead, Johnny.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Norman, you were going to say something. I'm about to respond to something, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to make it quick. I just want to say, Johnny, I'm in agreement with you on that. And that I was never disagreeing with what you were saying. I think that what we were getting where the miscommunication was is that there is an oppressive system that exists. As long as we don't act like that doesn't exist, then that's the thing that I was addressing. There is an oppressive system. Does that mean that we as an individual should be under the oppression of the system? No, not necessarily. However, it's no different than saying when the Jews were in Egypt, they were in slavery and they still served God. Well, maybe we have to, anyway, the point I'm trying to get at is you could be in a situation where there are things that are outside forces that are affecting your life, but that does not take away from you having victory over things. And I can say in my life personally that I have, for the most part, for most of my life, I have seen where my color did not prevent me from obtaining things in my life. Now, does that mean I never faced any kind of racial tension or some kind of oppression or some type of rather blockage or something like that? No, I have faced that. I have definitely seen where because of my skin color, I know I didn't get a certain job in the past or whatever. But that doesn't take away from my authority. That just means in that situation, okay, I didn't get that. But that doesn't mean that overall I'm not walking in authority, power, or whatever, or even victory. But there are certain things that we will face in life that we will encounter that don't speak to if we lack authority, but actually they probably speak to the fact that we do have authority and the enemy is trying to resist us and he's trying to see if we're going to continue to exercise that authority, or are we going to give in to the resistance that we faced?
Okay, so I'm going to try not to be too long on this. I'm going to try to be succinct. It's a few things I believe that needs to be addressed. And one of them is...
Well, don't come after me, man. I know you're coming after me.
No, I'm not. I'm not coming after you. But just in general, I believe that as spiritual beings, we still have to address natural things. And there's a side of me that can go apostolic, prophetic, mystic. There's a side of me that can go philosophical. And then there's a side of me that's just straight up just dealing with the natural, practical, the pragmatic things, you know? And so all of those things exist in me. But I think whenever we're addressing an issue, any issue, we have to look at it. And I agree with Johnny. I do agree that it starts from the spiritual. But the spiritual realm impacts the immaterial world, impacts the material world. And once it gets into the material, there are certain things that have to be managed. We have to deal with issues dealing with management, dealing with distribution of goods, dealing with resources. All of it is not done in the heavenlies. The authority is in the heavenlies, but then we also have to deal with power. So authority is our legal right to flow in a certain way and what we have access to legally. But once we get into the realm of powers, we have to be able to deal with and interact with power. So I'm going to go to this example I used before because nobody brought it up or responded to it. When there was an issue and problem with certain widows not getting what they needed, they didn't just pray about it. They prayed about who would be selected, diakonos, to deal with it. But then they came out with practical solutions for how to manage resources. And so for me, my problem or my disconnect with the whole side of, hey, we can just declare, I still feel like all of that is dealing with an individual's maturity. And we kind of stuck on the individual's maturity and growth and what they can realize they can access in their lifetime and even, you know, and bless the direct people around them. But that doesn't address the larger scale of what I'm looking at when you're addressing an issue, you have to be able to address generational issues, especially as apostolic people, pioneers, people commissioned to change our generation. I don't think that we address them by ignoring them, acting like they don't exist. I think that we address them by identifying what it is, identifying how it impacts people, praying, doing whatever we need to do in the spirit, but then coming up, because when we pray, we should expect that God will give us answers. And when he gives us answers, they're going to be practical resolutions and things. And some of that has to do with ambassadorship or being mediators. And one thing about being a mediator, just like Christ's mediating between God and man, he brought the deity, but he also brought the humanity. That's how he could reconcile. He had to speak from both sides of himself. He had to operate on both sides of it in order to mediate or be the bridge. And so, for example, if I'm called to bring about reconciliation, just say in ethnic disparity and ethnic issues, then I need to be able to understand what is the collective consciousness of that people group. I need to be able to understand what are their fears, understand what are their problems, understand that I'm going to come and bring what the word says about it. But at the same time, I need to be able to not only comprehend it, I need to be able to feel the weight of the pressure that's upon them, whether it is just in their minds, whether it's just their belief system, whatever it is, it's a reality for them. Just like racism. The idea of racism was a construct that was created, but now it's here, right? And so now because it's here, it's something that I can identify. I believe that it does us a disservice to not to be so dismissive of it to where we can't really deal with it and address it. Because if there is something going on in somebody's church where, like I mentioned earlier, the leader is not addressing the needs of the people, the needs of the demographic of people that's there, right? And then they bring up their problems, they bring up their concerns, their grievances or whatever, and that person is dismissive because they start speaking, high, and it's the High Culture Podcast, so I understand speaking high, but at the same time, they have to be able to meet them where they are. Paul said, I became all things to all men that I might win some. He talked to the Greeks and to the Gentiles differently than he talked to the Hebrews because he knew that there was a collective consciousness that they had. He knew that there's a cultural distinction that they had. He knew that there was a language and a history that they had that helped, that it created a group think toward the good or the bad. So he had to address that and deal with it. And so I don't think that it is helpful for us. I don't think that it will do anything but create more division. If we say we don't want division in the church, well, then we need to confront what it is. How come you don't have any people of color in your leadership? How come you only have one style of worship and you haven't generated or you haven't included or encouraged other styles? People want to see people who look like them leading, the encourage. They don't want to just be like, okay, This I'm just using it as an example. It could be flipped around, but this European of European descent pastor, everything is whitewashed, it's all white. And then they're sitting down, paying tithes, offerings, doing whatever, and just being recipients of that. And it's basically like another form of colonialism. If you're gonna get with us, you're gonna be white like us. Instead of the incorporation, the inclusion. Now, there's a reason why they say, I don't want that. Some of them see it as ignorant. Different styles of worship, different styles of participation in the worship experience, or they don't trust certain people to have certain areas of leadership for whatever reason. So my point is, I'm gonna wrap this up, but my point is, yes, I think we all agree that we have the authority in Christ, but we have to deal with the powers, systems that are in place. And certain things I know because of people that I know. They put me on. There's certain things I know because of access I had to influential people. certain things that I know because of, and that's how the kingdom flows, through relationships. Now, if you don't include me in the private meeting that gives me access to things that would benefit my family, but you include people who look like you, then that's a problem. I can't address that. I'm not going to just pray about that. We have to address and confront the issue. That's my commentary on that, but what's the responses?
Yeah, you sounded like you were going into the Matrix, but okay. I wanted to say that I definitely agree with what you're saying about the spiritual affects the natural. So we have to look at both of them, and both of them are separate entities with their separate components that affect them. So we can't address the natural without also realizing that the spiritual is affected, but we can't address the spiritual without addressing the fact that it affects the natural. One of the things that I can tell you that I experienced at a church one time was where it was a Caucasian pastor. It was a diverse group of people as far as the overall church, mostly Caucasian. And I had been there for probably a few years by that time. And I got into a point where I was getting a little annoyed with the worship. And so we had this meeting at the church one day. And in this meeting, the pastor was asking about suggestions and whatnot. And I boldly got up in front of everybody and I said, well, one thing that we need to do is have our worship be more diverse. I've never heard one time, and I said it pretty much just like this, not one time did I hear since I've been here, and I've been here for a couple years now, not one time have I heard a song that's by a non-white person that we've sang. And then I started bringing up people like Israel Houghton and, you know, people like that. And I said, why is it that we don't hear that? And the ironic thing about it is that the pastor of the church, he came from a background where he was at basically an all black church one time. And he was under the leadership and authority of a black pastor who also mentored him and whatnot in the things of God for probably a couple of years, where he also, out of that, he listens to a lot of African American music. And so it was ironic that even though he was listening to that kind of music, the people who were leading worship were not singing that kind of music or anything, you know, related. So when I brought that up, that actually caused them, it sparked something within them. And then I had a conversation with some of the people in worship. And I said, well, here's some people that you need to check out, because they actually came to me after that. And they said, Norman, can you tell me about some people that you're talking about? And I gave them names of people. I said, here's some people. And next thing I know, within a month or whatever or less, they were singing songs by Israel Houghton and some other people, you know, started to be incorporated into that. The point is that just like with anything else, you can know or see something spiritually happening, but if you don't address it naturally as well as spiritually, then change will not occur as we would like for it to occur. There is a natural component to our spiritual activities. We can't just be praying and think that things are going to just happen. That's been the fallacy that's been in the church for so long, where they just thought all we got to do is pray and things are going to change. No, that's not the way it works. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So your works is not just you praying. Your works is you doing something after you pray to make something happen. And this is with any area of our lives, anything that we are, what any arena that we are talking about, they're all affected in the same way. So that's something that is a natural, like I said, outward thing that happens as a result of spiritual. Before I end this, I just want to say to everybody, first of all, if you're not following some of the speakers that's on the panel, whatever, please follow them, you know, before you leave out of the room. You know, I just follow everybody that's in here, literally. This would be a good way for us to stay in contact and whatnot, and have more discussions like this.
Jonathan, where you at? You still here? What you got?
I'm still here, brother. Man, I think, well, you know, I would say I'm in agreement with the way you and Norman kind of put it. Absolutely. We should take the position of being victorious with also having that knowledge of what goes on here on the natural side. You know, I think one of the biggest obstacles I think a lot of people have, especially new believers, is they come in and they kind of get this image from seasoned believers about just manifest it, just pray, just pray, just pray. And they hit something that they pray and they manifest about, and it don't come out the way that they want it to. And they're not mature enough to understand what that means. They're not mature enough to understand what that victorious means. They're not mature enough to understand the spiritual side versus the natural side. And I think we do people a disservice when we do that. But yeah, I think it is vital that, you know, you pray about it, you get the knowledge, you get the understanding, you connect, your will aligns with the Father's will, and then you go out and produce those things with your works. Because if you just pray about it, pray about it, pray about it, I mean, that's all you're really going to be doing, is just praying about it. I'm pretty sure, and I hate to go back to it, but throughout slavery, I'm pretty sure it was a whole bunch of praying and agreeing going on during slavery, and it still lasted as long as it did. So, and that's my piece. I'm going to step back on it.
So do y'all believe that the black church, and we're going to wrap it up in a little bit, but do you believe that the quote unquote black church should be dissolved because it is a divisive thing in the church or in the earth right now? What do y'all believe about what should happen with the quote unquote black church or Hispanic church or any church that we, even if they don't have it in the title of their denomination, like I said, denominations, that's a whole nother subject. But, you know, we will refer to predominantly black churches as the black church. Or we don't usually say that about white churches. We just call it the church.
You sound like you're in the Matrix, Terrence.
Hold on. You hear me now?
Yes.
Is it better?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. So basically, my question is, what do you think should happen with the quote unquote black church? Because I believe that it was supposed to be addressing needs that weren't addressed before or by other people, but now it is. So, or at least it's supposed to be addressing something. So what are your thoughts about that? What should happen with the quote unquote black church in general?
Well, I'll be real quick. I believe that it should be strengthened, and not strengthened for the basis of solely on black people. But I think the black church, I think black people, period, are a benefit to all cultures here. And so I think it should be strengthened so that the influence of the black church, what the black church understands at its roots, can be expanded and expounded upon throughout this whole land. I think it should be grown. I think it should be highlighted. I think the information pertaining to black people should be taught in church. And so I think it should definitely be strengthened. But I'm going to give a disclaimer. You know, up until about a couple years ago, I was always skeptical of white pastors anyway, up until I fell in love with the Bible Project. So that's just my background on it anyway, when I speak from their perspective.
So I'm going to say that I think that, first of all, you know, like where I live, we don't just have what we would call the black church or white church. We got Korean churches. We got Spanish churches. We got Ukrainian churches, Ethiopian churches. I've seen all kinds of things where I live. But the point is that, like you said before, Terrence, some things are where, you know, when people, let's just say, for instance, you know, we talk about the ones that are coming from another country and they don't speak English very well. Well, obviously, they're going to go where they can understand who they're listening to. So there is a purpose for a church that is founded by Ukrainian, because Ukrainians are coming in and, you know, they need to understand what's being said when they go to church. So it makes sense that they would come in to a Ukrainian church or Ukrainian based church, because that's the language they understand. The same thing applies to anybody else of those other groups that I named, and any kind of other group that I didn't name. The thing is, it's not about whether those kind of things should be dissolved or not. The point is, with them having that, what is the purpose of them having that? Is the purpose to exclude other people, or is the purpose to to be there for the people that need them. In other words, if you are coming from another country and you only speak your certain language that you speak, that you need to find a church where they speak your language because you want to be among a body of believers that believe the same way you do and also speak your language so that you can still maintain fellowship. But then there can come a time when that specific church also, let's say they built relationships with other groups, with other churches around in the area that are of different ethnic groups. So it's not about it's not as much about do we have churches that are mainly of a certain ethnic group. It is the reason for the ethnic group being the main group in that church that we need to look at. Why do they exist? Are they existing to try to have division? Are they existing to separate themselves from other people? Or are they existing out of a necessity to help a certain group of people in an area because that's something that is needed in that area? So my thing is not that any certain type of church needs to be dissolved as long as the reason for it being in existence is not to perpetrate division, racism, or anything like that that has existed for so many generations. It's just we need to know that that existing church is there to help the whole body of Christ, no matter what the ethnic group is, and that they might be there as a tool to integrate those that are coming from outside, so to speak, out of another country into this country, to integrate them and assimilate them into the American culture through their experience with that church.
Anybody else on that?
Yeah, I agree. I think that like it serves a purpose in terms of people who are immigrating to America, or here in Canada, they have the same thing. You have like Korean churches, Chinese, you know, Ukrainian, Russian, Greek Orthodox churches, Ethiopian. So it serves a purpose for when they first come over. My only problem is when it's like closed off to other people, because you should be able to share the gospel with anyone, regardless of their race. As long as they obviously speak English, that would help. But regardless of the race, so someone who is, for example, I should be able to go to any church, even if it's not the same culture as me, like if it's Ukrainian or if it's like Ethiopian or something, I should be able to walk in and not feel like, oh my gosh, they're like ostracizing me because I'm not from their culture. Like they should feel free to share the gospel with everyone. Like I know a girl, she's Black American, and she used to go to like a Russian, I think it was a Russian Orthodox church, because it was in her area and she had friends who were there. And at first it was like awkward because she was the only Black person there, but they never ostracized her. And then as time went on, it was just normal. She was always there. So that was it. There was no like, they didn't kick her out because she's Black. So that's when there's a problem, when it's like, oh, a Black person walks in, or like, let's say a white or Asian person walks into a Black church and they feel awkward because everyone's like, nobody's greeting them. No one's talking to them. No one's trying to share the gospel with them or inviting them in. It's just kind of like closed off. That's when it becomes a problem. So, and I just feel like the kingdom of God is diverse anyways. Like we all have, each culture has their element. And I think someone was saying earlier, I don't know if, I think it was Terrence, you are right. The way they discriminated against the African-Americans and would not listen to their musical style, I have a problem with that. Like when people try to make it seem like if it's of African descent is demonic or something, like the drums are demonic. No, that's not true. People with music, you have your intention. If it's edifying God, it's edifying God. If it's edifying the devil, then it's edifying the devil. That's what it is with gospel music or any music. But they should definitely be able to share the gospel music and from different cultures, including the Black American culture, all the other cultures as well. They shouldn't feel like, oh, I can only play gospel music that comes from like the European side. They have their beautiful, you know, choir music too. We should share that too, but also everyone else should share theirs. So that's what I think.
That's good. That's good. Johnny, you got something on that?
Yeah, I think it grieves God when, I don't know, a church just stays stuck in, we're only going to we're only going to serve this group of people. Now, I get it if that's maybe your call, maybe your call to a specific group of people, and I'm not negating that God won't do that. But I believe the heart of God is to see all nations, to see all ethnicities and all colors under one roof worshiping. That's what I desire to see. And I just think that's the heartbeat of God. That, you know, that all nations call him blessed. I think a quote unquote black church or a white church or whatever you call it has been somewhat detrimental to the body of Christ when that's all that we can focus on is us four and no more. I think we need to mature and grow from that and get to a place where, irregardless of what the color of your skin or the language that you speak, here's what I know. I know that when somebody needs healing, there's the power of God that supersedes any language. When someone needs help, when someone needs deliverance, when someone needs a demon cast out, there's an anointing that's on our lives that will supersede all of that stuff and will allow us to be able to minister to that individual right where they are, irregardless of where they're from. So I don't know. That's just my take on it. I just think let's mount up, let's unify, and let's be about his business. And I'll just end with that.
Hey Terrence.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is something that, well, I'm gonna say like this. Hopefully this won't be, you know, something that's gonna spark another conversation necessarily right now, but I just want to say that I have seen, I guess you could say, the beauty of various types of ethnic groups in within the church and also denominations as well. When I've been in a situation where I was struggling financially and, you know, I was about to lose my house and whatnot, I was able to go to an Episcopalian church where they were giving away clothes, food, and even paying BGE bills. Well, okay, that's our name for the electric bill here. So I've also seen where I didn't see that same type of ability and or whatever at what we would call a black church. I've seen where these certain groups of, or not groups, but certain types of provisions were at certain types of churches and not at others. So the thing is that, you know, I've seen where in various types of cultural backgrounds and also what we call denominations and things like that, I've seen various types of expressions of the love of Christ and also the taking care of the saints and even those that weren't saints, the church just being a church. So, you know, again, you know, and I now go to a church that is led by a Latino pastor with a Jewish wife. And there are almost every couple in this church is a mixed couple. I mean, there's so many mixed couples at this church. It's just like it's a very huge, you know, amount of them. And so it's a bunch of mixed kids in there and all kinds of stuff. We got Koreans, Puerto Ricans, African-Americans, Jewish, you know, German. I mean, it's all kinds of people there. So we're seeing like the combination of the worship experience, the music, the preaching and all that kind of stuff. Because like there's even an African he's from Canada, but he's a black pastor there as well who has a Caucasian wife, you know what I'm saying? And so the point is that we have a church that is an expression of the things that, you know, Johnny was talking about, and then I think even Jonathan was saying, and Lenora basically saying the same thing. I believe that this is becoming more and more prevalent in the areas where they have a multiplicity of ethnic groups and whatnot. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we can that doesn't mean to demonize the areas where they just don't have the diversity, because it's just not even there in that area, you know. So, but I think that we're going to see more and more of that rising up as we get closer to the coming of the Lord.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. That was something I was going to speak to, how you talked about the area and how a lot of times the area that we're in will determine the potential for the type of churches that gather and the diversity that's there. And you have to do, if you like, say I'm in South CAC. So when you're in the South and different things like that, you're going to have more resistance, a lot of things, and there's more pioneering that has to be done. It has to be more intentional to integrate, if you will, and diversify more easily, because that's not the landscape of the actual area that you're in. So that is different. And we even see that in the scripture, you know, with the early believers and the diversity of people that were there. And because of that landscape, it helped move things around. And in the church grows
when you have that diversity. I just want to read the scripture before I read it. I want to, because we're about to close it up, but I want to.
You're in the matrix. You're in the matrix. Yes.
Hold on.
This bad internet service. How about now?
You're good now.
Okay. I'm going to read the scripture, but I want you all to think about this question I'm about to ask afterwards. And that is, what is one thing that you believe that could be done? I'm talking about a practical solution to address ethnic beefs or conflicts in the church. One thing that you say that can be done on a practical level. Just think about that. I'm going to read this. And it's just echoing what you all have already been saying. The book of the Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9. And it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And I could keep going, but I just wanted to highlight that the scripture does definitely promote the ideal that, you know, the ideal is that we would all mix it up in our worship, but it does identify them. It does show the distinctions of different people groups, different tribes, different languages. And those things are not taken away when we get saved. The cultural impact upon us. When we talk about the high culture or the culture of the kingdom, sometimes we make it seem like the kingdom has a culture and all earthly cultures are evil, but the kingdom culture is the righteous culture. But really the culture of the kingdom is a transcendent culture where it transcends and it permeates within the cultures of men, and it purifies what can be pure, and it gets rid of those things that cannot be redeemed, so to speak, or that cannot be, that you can't keep, because culture is built around all kinds of different things. We can have cultures are developed around work, around our enjoyment. I was going to say entertainment, but I don't want to use that word, but around the way that we relax and enjoy ourselves, around the foods that we eat. Cultures are also generated or cultivated around the laws that are in the land, and cultures are generated around. So it's a lot of different things that can build up what makes a person or a people group of a distinct culture, or even a history that they share, the customary tradition. Some of that needs to be thrown out. Other things, he can get glory out of it. But I just want to ask you, what are some things, as we close, last few things you want to say about some solutions that you could think about that would help move this thing along so we can get in the right area, right arena, anybody can go.
I definitely agree with you, my brother. But I think one of the key things, I think, is what we're doing right now, and that's just building, having different perspectives, different backgrounds, you know, different talents, just different groups of people, you know, chopping it up, conversing, having dialogue, having honest dialogue, not dialogue centered around things outside of the belief. A lot of times we like to lump in our politics with our faith and all that other stuff. Those things we can disagree upon, but we should be having these discussions, the things that we disagree upon and the things we agree upon within the faith. I think we should just spend more time just creating dialogue, creating conversation, and integrating with one another. And I think, me personally, that starts with, you know, the foundation. That starts with the dominant foundation. And so we just need to talk more. We just need to engage more. We need to engage more.
I say, yeah, just, I always say, put your money where your mouth is. Action. I know one of the things that I did, when I started the radio broadcast, I purposely targeted a market that did not look like me. I could have went to radio stations that the predominant demographic was one particular nation or ethnicity of people, but I purposely chose folks that did not look like me, because that's what I stand behind that belief that that all nations call me blessed, and that I need to unify and figure out what do we have in common in Christ so that we can build and unify. You know, I purpose to reach out to people, you know, to anybody, but I want to more so know that I'm not discriminating and reaching out to somebody who at one point in my life, because I felt more comfortable reaching out to that person because they looked like me. So I checked my own heart and made sure that I'm not showing any bias by reaching out to a person or fellowshipping with a group of individuals. Like this room, you know, this room, I want to see the more rooms that we have. And it has a multiplicity of different people, Latino, Asian, Romanian, whatever. And so it starts with us individually and collectively and conversations like this. That's all I got.
Before Norman goes, I just want to know, Lenore, did you have any last words on that?
Yeah, maybe just getting in where the concrete's wet. So like from a young age, like, I don't know if they have to do field trips or something, just getting different kids from different churches together and getting them to play with each other, share the gospel with the, you know, with people on the street, just getting them to get to know each other in that way. So maybe even if they come from a neighborhood that's not as diverse, or maybe their parents have biases that they taught them, they'll at least get something counteracted when they go to church. And even if the area, let's say the area they go to church to, or their church is not as diverse, then you have to go to other churches and partner with them and have like the kids do things together to like help the community and share the gospel and get to know each other. That way it makes up for the fact that like you don't come from a diverse area, and you can't that's not something you can change, but you'd have to like partner with other churches, I guess. That's it.
That's good. All right, Norman.
Okay, so ironically, I was involved in a thing just like what Lenora said, where several different churches came together. One was a church that was, I guess, Brazilian mainly. Another one was they're Spanish speaking, but they had different types of Spanish speaking people there. And then there was one that was mostly African. And then there was my church, which is mixed up with a lot of different kinds of people. So I can agree and I can attest to that, you know, when you're talking about getting people of different ethnic backgrounds and things like that to just come together intentionally. And I can also say that I have seen with myself that, you know, even when you're talking about friends, there was a point in time in my life I've had various types of friends throughout my life, but there was a point in time where I intentionally went to God and I said, I want more white friends. And so after I prayed that prayer, things just started opening up and I started to meet people. And then I started building with people that were Caucasian, and it was like it became more and more in my life and whatnot. And then that also opened a door for other groups of people and whatnot that I started to meet as well. And so I think that when there's an intentionality to it, and a person puts themselves in a place where they can build with other people, then that's how it starts, you know. And it's always great to start with the kids. A few months ago, I was at a youth event that was also mixed like that. And it was an intentional event that was put together where my friend, he reached out to various churches and various youth group leaders and whatnot. And he was like, hey, bring your youth group to this event. And we're going to bring all the youth together and whatnot. And it was just really, it was really powerful to see the youth coming together like that, and being that they were of different ethnic backgrounds. So as long as we continue to do that and we look past the differences that we see physically or whatever, and we just go about looking for what we see spiritually, then I believe that's definitely going to be where things are going to continue to turn around and things. And as Johnny said, or as Jonathan said, rather, having these conversations like this, where you have groups of people together. I know that, I don't know if I ever told you this, Terrence, but I had spoken of having a town hall meeting where people would come together, different ethnic groups, where we would discuss candidly things that are happening that's causing us to have division between ethnic groups, so that we can address them in a very real way and bring about change. So I think that this is a type of forum that would be good for that.
Oh, that's dope. That's good. So I don't know if I'm in the matrix right now.
You're not.
Am I?
You're not.
Okay, so I would say the only thing that I would add to that is for you all to not discount people like me, the pro black Afrocentric people. Keep talking to me, because I don't have the that's not my grace. I encourage it. I feel like it should happen. But I know who I'm called to. My disposition is I want to uplift the people who look like me so that they could come out of ignorance. A lot of times I used to come up listening to, because my dad listened to him a lot, Edwin Lewis Cole, Maximize Manhood. And he would, you know, get information and things from all kind of people. But then my passion was to break that information down so that people who look like me, or people who even came up in hip hop or came up in a certain mindset, to break it down to them so that they can get the same information that I'm getting from other sources, being a mediator. But I want to bring it to them to elevate them, because I feel like if they are elevated, then when they do interact with someone from a different ethnicity or whatever, they won't have that that problem, that fear of communicating, the fear of I don't sound intelligent enough or whatever. So that's my portion in it. So my encouragement to everybody is, whenever you do deal with the pro black folks, whatever it is, whether they feel like they're Hebrew Israelites in Christ or whether they feel like whatever, they're focused on the issues of that. Don't stop talking to us too. That's my suggestion for the solution. That's really for Johnny and Norman. But listen, man, we had a good conversation. I think it was good. Anybody have anything else to say before we close it up? I think we kind of touched on enough for one night. All right. Seemed like everybody's good. Well, thanks for coming in the room.
Thanks for listening to the New Godcast once again. This is your host, Norm. Follow me at Norm the Professor on IG.
I'm in agreement for power and breakthrough in your life. Keep tuning in every week for that real talk, new life.